Welcome to the CDH Conversations podcast, where we'll be speaking about secondment and outsourcing, an alternative to traditional employment. I am Rizichika Sharon-Dego, an associate at CDH in the Employment and Corporate and Commercial Departments. Joining me today is Mr. JD Dungu, a director at Preferred Personnel Africa, which is a network of professionals providing HR solutions to organizations. Welcome, JD.
Thank you very much, Izichi.
So today we're discussing two arrangements that are an alternative to traditional employment, which is secondment and outsourcing. It is interesting that these two alternatives, as common as they are not regulated by a specific law in Kenya. In the absence of legislation, the courts have turned to provisions of the Constitution of Kenya, in particular Article 41, which provides that every person has a right to fair labor practice. So what is fair? The courts have interpreted fairness to mean the regard given not only to the position and interests of the employees, but also those of the employer in order to make a balanced and equitable assessment. So when we're discussing secondment and outsourcing, we'll have to see the balance that has been interpreted by the courts in determining what is fair to an employee and an employer. So I think we'll start with secondment. And secondment can ideally be structured in two ways. One, where the original employer, who we refer to as a principal employer, retains the key responsibilities of paying the employee's salary and remitting statutory deductions on behalf of the employee. And the second structure is where the responsibilities of the principal employer are taken over by the entity to which the employee is seconded. So JD, as a director of Preferred Personnel, I'm sure you have assisted several clients in structuring secondment arrangements. What secondment structures are you seeing as commonly used in the market? And what are the considerations employers are making when considering undertaking secondment?
All right. So in our experience, and I guess where we would primarily fall as Preferred Personnel Africa, is that we'd primarily fall within the second, which is that we take over the primary responsibility of an employer, and we pretty much handle the end-to-end HR administration process for the employee. So that is from recruitment to offboarding. And so that, I mean, in terms of the arrangements that we tend to see, it tends to be what we do, which is the second thing, because essentially what a lot of businesses are starting to think about is our primary work HR administration, because HR administration takes up a lot of time. And if we're going to have HR within our businesses, we'd rather focus on trying to direct and build the business and look to the future rather than get stuck and mired in the present, which is, okay, I need to deal with this person's salary, or I need to collect that information. So that's where we tend to work with. And that's where we tend to see a lot of clients moving towards, which is the second option that you mentioned.
Okay, that's quite interesting. So you're saying that most employers are now considering what is their primary core work instead of focusing on other aspects of HR. And the fact that now you're focusing on the second element, which is taking over the principal employer's responsibilities, I'd just like to now talk about the legal implications for an employer and the two different structures. So in the sense where you are taking over the principal's employer's responsibilities, the Court of Appeal in Kenya Methodist University versus Kaungania held that the nominal employer becomes basically a functus officio. So in essence, in the structure that you've adopted, JD, the status of the parties is altered, making the seconding entity the nominal employer, while the entity which the employee was seconded to becomes the principal employer. So therefore, the principal employer cannot recall the employee before the expiry of the termination, nor can they unilaterally vary or withdraw the secondment agreement. In the alternative, where the principal employer retains all the responsibilities, the status doesn't change, and the principal employer remains the employer for all intents and purposes. So basically what I'm trying to summarize for our listeners today is that they have to be cognizant of what structure that they're trying to take. If they want to pass on all their employer responsibilities to an entity like yours, JD, then they should be aware that they will have no responsibilities and they'll generally be the nominal employee in all aspects. That's correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Great. I think now we'll also go into outsourcing, and I'll just basically summarize what the courts have defined as outsourcing. And there are two main definitions in relate to what you just talked about, JD. So the courts have defined outsourcing as contracting or subcontracting of non-core activities to free up cash, personnel, time and facilities for activities in which a company holds competitive advantage. Another common definition we've seen is outsourcing is a tool that, from an employer's perspective, is used to reduce costs costs by transferring portions of work to outside suppliers who have expertise in the specific portions of work rather than undertaking the task in its entirety. It is an effective cost-saving strategy when used properly, and the tool allows the employer to focus on the core areas of business. So this is in relation to what you've talked about, JD, where an employer is looking to focus on their core business. So as a legal practitioner, I've been seeing more queries on outsourcing from clients. And I just want to ask you, as an HR practitioner, could you explain why there's been a sudden increase in outsourcing in comparison to secondment? And also in an explanation, are there certain industries that are more likely to benefit from this structure?
So that's an interesting question, and it's a little bit wide. So I hope you can give me the time maybe to just walk you through it. So there's multiple reasons why we have experienced and seen a lot of people go through and decide that outsourcing is the way to go. First and foremost, just maybe to toot our own horn, we've been in the outsourcing business for about 15 plus years now within Kenya. And essentially how we came into that business was a request made by a major multinational company. And they said, look, we're really quite interested in now making the shift and saying, look, we don't believe that these groups of staff should be considered under our particular umbrella, but we do want to make sure that we match and meet kind of what we were offering them to a degree. So yes, indeed, as you pointed out, it can be a cost-saving measure if it's thought through and well thought out and well structured. So that's just maybe just the one thing, which is yes, cost-saving measure. The other thing that's quite interesting, and I think is something that we've seen a lot within our business, is that we've had a lot of companies that have come in and said, look, we want to get into Kenya, but we're not entirely sure the viability of it. And rather than just sitting back and experimenting from a distance and saying, oh, let's not try and like dip our toes in the water. Let's do it. But then let's make sure that from a people perspective, which is the critical element in any sort of business that you're operating, you have a partner on the ground who understands the market, understands some of the hardcore information, well, the hardcore technical, which is, okay, what are the laws that apply here? What sort of salary should I be paying people? What is the regularity of that? If there's disciplinary issues, how do I handle that? That's where our competitive edge within being an employer within this market, but then again, this being our primary business and us being able to provide those expertise to our clients steps in. And so that's where we've seen a lot of clients come and work with us and essentially say, look, we want to try this out for a little bit. We want to try this out for maybe a year and let's see kind of what our appetite is for the market. And some people and some clients that we've had, we started off with a year arrangement. They say, actually, look, we're 6 years in and we're still here and still, and we actually like the work that you guys are providing us and the support that you're providing us because once again, HR is not our core business. So let's just continue working together. And that tends to be the nature of those relationships is that it starts off short term and then ends up being longer term. So what we end up doing is that we end up becoming HR business partners to our clients. So although we end up being primary employer, we end up also just kind of double hatting and becoming almost the HR internally for their businesses. And finally, and this is kind of a two-parter, our risk mitigation is a big thing for them as well, because one of the things that we tend to find within HR, and it's unfortunate for our industry because we do have a lot of very strong HR practitioners, we tend to find that businesses tend to make unnecessary mistakes by not following the process that as is outlined within the Employment Act of Kenya and just maybe just not following due process. And so it's a lot about risk mitigation in terms of being like, look, we're not sure what the faux pas is in terms of maybe approaching this and doing some certain things at certain instances. And so therefore, let's come to an expert who kind of understands what is expected, not only legally and not only in terms of due diligence wise, but also from a people perspective and also from a care perspective. I think that's something that us as a business at Preferred Personnel Africa really thrive on, which is the ability to kind of have that human element and human touch. And what I said was the two part of this answer is the element of that. It's a lot easier to deal with somebody who is an external business and a business partner versus dealing with somebody who you've hired, because there's also you build a much more objective relationship with a business. You can't just approach a business and say, we want to fire somebody. It's like, okay, but why? What's happened to this point? Can we conduct an investigation? This is the process. This is what is expected. This is the case law that has been presented that kind of is similar to your case. Have you taken that into consideration? So a business tends to ask a lot more objective questions, and it's even received objectively by the business as well. And I'll also say, as much as maybe you find HR practitioners struggling, I'll also defend them in terms of saying it is very hard to try and be an objective business partner when you've been hired by that business. And so you expected to support the interests of the business, but if the interest of the business is in direct opposition to the law, how do you balance that? So that's where I tend to see the reason why a lot more businesses are doing it. And of course, the biggest factor of them all in most recent years, COVID. COVID completely changed the dynamics of business relationships, businesses' relationship with their employees and employers. So we've now started to look at how do you redefine what employment actually looks like? Because we have never faced a global pandemic of that scale. And a lot of people lost their jobs and it had nothing to do with the performance. It just happened to do with this is kind of where we're going. The business cannot survive. And so therefore, as we try to navigate this new normal, what does an employer-employee relationship look like? And does a third party even potentially benefit the overall relationship between employees and employers and having a go-between? So yeah, there's a lot of people who are trying to thinking. There's of course other things, but yeah, those are maybe the ones that come off the top of my mind.
Oh, thanks, JD. That's quite interesting to note that people are looking to alter the structures of their business and look at cost-saving ways to promote their businesses. Also, those who are looking to enter into our market are thinking strategically, how do we enter by minimizing the loss and cost? So that's quite interesting. Thank you for that. I want to step in here and talk about what are the legal implications and what should entity looking to take over this outsourcing structure consider. As the court in Ringley Company versus the Honorable Attorney General held that a credible outsourcing program is one where the employers are not expected to outsource their core functions. An employer will not be permitted to use outsourcing as a means to escape meeting accrued contractual obligations to its employees. So one has to be very careful as to how they structure it and what elements of their business they're outsourcing. Thirdly, an employer will not be permitted to transfer the services of its employees to an outsourcing agency without the express consent of each affected employee. And in all such cases, the employer must settle all outstanding obligations to its employees before any outsourcing arrangement takes effect. This is in the case if an employer has already employed certain employees and wants to convert that structure into an outsourcing structure. And lastly, it's stated that outsourcing is unlawful if its effect is to introduce discrimination between employees doing equal work in an enterprise. Now, we note that these elements are quite broad and most of them haven't been litigated to give specific instances of, for instance, when there'll be discrimination between employees. But what we usually do, we look at it on a case-by-case basis to determine whether it is likely to be deemed unlawful or lawful. JD, I just want to focus on one statement that you made that businesses look at outsourcing their services if it is well thought through and they have to carefully consider whether it will benefit their business. So, in summary, could you just list three factors that an employer should consider when considering to either take the outsourcing structure or the secondment structure?
All right. So the three factors that I've kind of come up with, of course, there are multiple factors, but these are the three that we would ask all of our clients before making this decision to either transition staff that they currently have into an outsourcing model or to start off with an outsourcing model. Of course, all staff are essential, but which staff would... And I guess this is now within the mind of the business, I would say, but which staff would I as a business consider to be at risk of one, high attrition rate, and two, need a lot more administrative support due to the attrition slash volume? Because of course there can be minor issues that take place, but it's kind of a snowball effect and it's an avalanche that can kind of build. If you keep making the same mistake, a class action lawsuit can come up in the future. If you keep making the same mistake in terms of just letting people go. So one of the things that we say is that in an area where there's a high attrition rate, it's not that this is bound to happen, that everybody's going to be fired, but if enough people start noticing a pattern, then that's now where the risk really starts opening up. And I'll give you an example. There have been some businesses within Kenya that would fire people for grounds of insubordination, let's just say, for example. Now, grounds of insubordination are very difficult to kind of navigate because if you do not have evidence, then of course the courts would tend to rule in favor of the employee. As you know, the labor courts in Kenya do have a tendency to support the employee because they tend to be the ones with less rights, I guess, if you're balancing the scales, than the employer. So this is now where a pattern of that, it can happen once or twice, but if a pattern of it kind of comes up and a group of people come together, that's a big risk. So I'd say in any areas where you expect to have high attrition and need more administrative support in terms of how that process is handled, you should consider outsourcing or secondment as an option. The second thing that I would say is in terms of considering a factor is how much are you willing to invest in a full HR function within your business when it's not your core business? And essentially what that means is that for us, what I would say is that although maybe some people would look at the rate and be like, actually, you know what, maybe you guys are considered a little bit expensive, I would say, okay. But in terms of when you're looking at the overall cost to your business, we would cost significantly less than a fully functional HR function. So with us, what you're getting is you're getting an HR director all the way down to an HR assistant for a fraction of that cost. So you see, again, that's once again, I would say just balancing out and trying to figure out what the cost element of that is. And again, because a lot of businesses and a lot of business owners are focused on the core part of their business. HR is not a core part of their business. So you need to hire HR professionals who understand what it takes to actually fully manage an HR function. But are you willing to pay for that? And I think that's one thing when you talk about the cost saving element of outsourcing, that is something to pay attention to. And then finally, and I will say this, is cost your primary reason for making that decision? If so, you shouldn't pursue outsourcing. And the reason why I point that out is because, and I'll bring up this client that we initially brought up, the major multinational that brought us into the outsourcing space. What they were thinking about wasn't the cost element, because they could have handled the cost element. The thing that they were thinking about is, we're thinking about the long-term future of our business within this market. And we understand that for our area of the business, we have support staff that are good and that we don't mind having as part of it. But there's a major cost that is being sunk into them that we do not reap the rewards from. Because these staff can kind of go on, and once they've been with us for a couple of years, they tend to move on quite quickly. And so for us, what we're trying to figure out is, how do we now focus our efforts and our investment in the staff that we know are going to be with us for the longer term? And so it does go back to the elements of the attrition rate. It does go back to the elements of now thinking about the HR support and kind of what sort of time are we trying to spend with these staff. But yes, if cost is the primary reason, you're going to make mistakes. Because fact of the matter is, there's a lot of clients who we've worked with who we say, look, the model that you're trying to adopt versus the model that we're offering, you're not going to save cost on it. In fact, you're probably going to make it more expensive, because you end up doubling up. You have an HR team internally, and then you end up doing the work of the HR team internally anyway. So in fact, you're not saving any money here.
Okay. Well, that's very insightful, JD. I've certainly learned a lot from a practical perspective as a lawyer. And, you know, these are the factors that we need to consider when we're advising our clients on what structure to take. I'd like to thank you so much, JD, for taking the time to, you know, give us your insights. I'm sure the listeners are grateful as well. In conclusion, we'd just like to encourage employers, when deciding what structure to adopt, think about your business structure, what makes more sense for your business, cost-wise as well. And we are happy to help, and we're always here. So until next time, thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thanks, JD.
Thank you.
The views and information expressed are those of the contributors at the time of publication and do not necessarily present those of the firm. All content is provided for general purposes only and does not constitute legal advice. We make no representations, warranties, or guarantees, whether expressed or implied, that the content on our podcast is accurate, complete, up-to-date, or reflects the current law. We accept no responsibility for any loss or damage, whether direct or consequential, arising from reliance on the information which is presented here.